Let's just pray. Father God, I ask that you will take these words and thoughts and use them mightily in this place as we study your word together and learn from it. We ask it in your name. Amen. When Peter sent me the email to say that he was doing a study on Jonah, he said, take some thoughts from chapter 3 and chapter 4. I did think that was rather ambitious, and I was concerned that actually that's a lot to cover in one message, and I read the email several times. I suppose I could have rung him, but it didn't occur to me at the time. But I just wondered if I'd misread it, and perhaps I was looking at chapter 3 and not 4. But this is what I've done. This is what I'm looking at. God will bless it, I'm sure. And if I've done it wrong, then Peter can pick up the mess and sort it out. I know that you've been looking at the story of Jonah, and I'm assuming that last week you looked at chapter 2, where Jonah was out of his depth, where he was swallowed by the whale, and then the whale threw him back onto the sea, onto the shore. We know, don't we, with the famous story of Jonah, because he ran away because he was called to Nineveh and he obviously didn't want to go. And he ran away. A Jew who perhaps lived a relatively quiet life up to this moment of time. And then he had this task to do. I'm sure Peter shared with you that, but I'd like to just remind you that Jonah actually lived a sort of turbulent time. He lived for most of his life under the king Jeroboam, who did what was evil in God's eyes. During Jonah's time, or just before it, the nation of Israel was divided. So you have Judea with Jerusalem, and you have the north, which was known as Israel, with Samaria. And then, if you remember, you have the conflict, which continues into the New Testament, over the Samaritans who had Samaria and who worshipped there but weren't quite as good as having Jerusalem. So although he didn't want to respond to Nineveh, I'm sure Jonah could see lots of things in his own country that God needed to sort out. And I have a great empathy with this man, really, because we perhaps look around our own church and we look around our own neighbourhood and the places where we've lived, and we can see the sin and the waywardness of people from God, and our hearts yearn for that. And yet then suddenly perhaps God just takes us out and puts us in an alien place, just like he did with Jonah. And so for me, and perhaps hopefully for you as well, the questions that we have to ask is, God's mission is not always our mission, and the task that God calls us to do is perhaps more important than how we feel about doing it. I wonder where your desires lay. Is it to allow God to do what you want to do in the place that you want to be in? Or is it opening your heart and your minds and your life and saying, God, take me where you will and I will go? So we read, don't we, in chapter 3, that verse 1, that God gave Jonah a second time. A second time. He'd learnt his lesson. He realised that God was faithful, that no matter what happened to him, wherever he went, God would be there with him. God would hear his cry and answer it. Maybe not quite in the way that he expected, but he had learnt that his God, Yahweh God, was a faithful God. second time round. I wonder if you've ever felt that you've had a second opportunity, that you've known in the past that God has challenged you to do something, and for whatever reason, because it was too difficult, you were too busy, you couldn't see the point, you didn't want to do it, you refused. And then sometime later, God comes to you again, a second time round, and says, go back to that place that I asked you to go to all that time ago. And there's a difference also in what he said. If we look at chapter 1, he tells Jonah to preach the message. But in chapter 2-3 here, he says, proclaim. Now, I tried really hard to find the difference between the word preach and proclaim. And for me, proclaiming is much more positive, much more active, much more down to earth. This is how it is. We're going to shout it from the rooftops. We're not going to make it look anything different. This is clear and simple. This is it. That's, to me, a proclamation. Do you know, Paul preached and proclaimed. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in fear and weakness and with much trembling. My message was not with wise and persuasive words, but a demonstration of the Spirit's power. So Paul knew what it was to proclaim God's message, the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified. He was very clear about that. And when he went to Corinth, that was the proclamation that he gave, although he came with weakness and fear and trembling. And I guess our friend Jonah, when he approached that great city in Nineveh, went with weakness and fear and trembling, not because he doubted God's faithfulness or that he doubted the message that he had to give, but because he was in fear of what he might find and where he was going. Do you remember when Paul went to Athens? He took a slightly different tact in the way that he approached the people. And he started off by saying, I see you have many gods. I see that you are religious people. And I think there's a slight difference between us trying to do things that appear to be pleasing and interesting and proclaiming. And we need to think about, is God calling us to proclaim the word in its simplicity, in its truthfulness, and in its power? So Jonah was called to proclaim the message. Don't go in and tell them all about your life and what you've done and how God has worked in it. Don't go in and tell them, you know, that God has sent you to this city and that you've come with fear and trembling and what a nice city it is and how lovely to see you. Go in and proclaim the message. And so God obeyed and went to what was considered one of the most wicked cities in its time, at that time. And Jonah, perhaps bleached from being inside the body of the whale for so long, this man that was completely white, a Jew went into the most one of the most notorious, evil, wicked cities at that time. One amongst 120,000, not knowing how they would respond. Most probably thinking, they're going to kill me. They're going to torture me. They're going to do all sorts of atrocities to me. They're not going to listen to my proclamation. We don't know because we're not told what Jonah thought, but my guess is, although he knew that God was faithful, he still had those fears. What a task to be given. What a place to go. Has God called you at times to go places where you do not want to be, with people that you do not want to be with, and give them a message that perhaps really you don't always want to give, because maybe you don't think they're worthy, because maybe you think it's a waste of time, because maybe you've already made their mind up that they're not going to listen to what you're going to say. And all of that, I think, Jonah was feeling. What's the point, Lord? This city is so wicked. This city is so far away in understanding anything about you. And here I am, a white Jew, walking into it to proclaim that you love them and they need to repent of their ways, or after 40 days you will destroy them. This rich, wicked, prosperous city. What a task. What a ludicrous task. And yet, God gives us time and time again such ludicrous tasks. Who could understand the sense of God asking Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac? Who could understand the sense of that? And yet Abraham was obedient and did it. Well, he didn't actually have to sacrifice him, did he? We looked, I think I've shared with you something of Elijah when I came before. And in the story of Elijah, Elijah did so many great things for God. And then at the end, he said, "This hasn't turned up as I expected it to, Lord. This hasn't worked out as I thought it was going to work out. I've given it my all and nothing's happened." Jeremiah complained at God when things didn't quite go as he thought he wanted them to go. He'd been faithful, he followed, he did everything right. And then when it didn't quite go as he wanted, he complained. Jonah went in, and on his first day, before he'd even got into the centre, because it took 3 days to walk from one part of the city to the other, on his first day, he proclaimed it, and the Ninevites listened. They declared a fast from the greatest to the least, and they put on the sackcloth. And when the news reached the king, he rose and took off his robes and covered with sackcloth and dust. And when God saw what they did, and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion on them and did not bring the destruction to them. We're a complex lot, us human beings. Or I'm a complex person. And sometimes God asks you to do things that you don't want to do, and you do them. And sometimes you get the results that you think, thank you, God, praise God, that's wonderful. But what about my family? What about my friends? What about my community? Why is it that you have asked me to go into that place where I did not want to go, where I did not expect them to respond, where I did not know what they would do? And yet I wanted to go into that place where I would be loved and respected and honoured and listened to by my family and my friends and my community. And yet they are still unsaved. And the people you have sent me to are saved. And sometimes, my folks, I struggle with that. I struggle with the idea sometimes that God loves the whole world, the whole world, from the greatest sinner to the least. And he loves them the same. And the message is the same. Seek me, turn of your ways, repent and follow me, and you will be saved. So Jonah, perhaps thinking of his own country with its own problems, with its kings who did not seek after God, who were squabbling over what was the important temple, Jerusalem or Samaria, who wanted to worship in a way that God didn't want them to worship, who had turned away from God, who had forgotten the laws that he had given them. And Jonah, perhaps, because it doesn't tell us, was thinking about his people, the Jews, the chosen ones of God, the Israelite nation, his people, the ones that he loved, the ones that he wanted to be with, the ones that he could give a message to. Jonah was thinking about them. And then he looked at Nineveh, those Gentiles who were unclean, who were heathens, who had not been given the law, who knew nothing of God. And he looked at them, and we're told that he was displeased and angry. And that word angry, when we look it up in the original, means that he was absolutely furious. Absolutely furious. And there's a bit that I can relate to that says, why them? Why not them? Why them? And God says, I have called you to take my word to those people. And who are you to question my love for everyone? You see, he couldn't handle the result. I guess that in some ways there was a bit about Jonah that perhaps says, I wanted destruction. I wanted them paid for their punishment. I wanted justice done on my terms. I wanted you to destroy that wicked, wicked heathen place. And you didn't. One of the commentaries I looked at when I was studying this was Warren Worsby. And he says this: God is concerned about the workers. We know that, don't we? God is concerned about us, the workers, and the work that he wants us to do. If the workers are where God wants them to be, the work will be what it ought to be. And we have no right, that chapter 4, to me, teaches us that we have no right to question the results of God's work, because God loves the world and he holds them in his hands. We sing these songs and we give God thanks and praise, but sometimes we have difficulty in understanding them. We're not told, are we, at the end of that chapter, the result of Jonah, how he felt, and whether he came to accept that God loves the world, from the greatest to the least, from the powerful to the poor. We're not told how he finally responded to that. And in the same way, my friends, it is only you who know and understand the response. Only you know that when God calls you to a task that seems so out there, as the young people might say now, so ridiculous, so off the wall, so unlogical, so horrendous, so difficult, so much in a place that you don't want to go. When God calls you, he is faithful to be with you, and he will go with you. But you don't always know the ending, because God calls us for a task to do his work. Jonah was called, and second time round, he accepted the task that he was given. But the ending wasn't really what he wanted. And whilst I understand that, my heart goes out, because it's my prayer, as it is your prayer, that we will look for the task, no matter what it is, and obey God and be faithful to him and rejoice in the demonstration of his power and his love to everyone, whoever they are, from the greatest to the least. Amen.